country, to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, and time won't matter anymore. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday I'll stand, and there my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, and I'm that river to where my faith shall end inside, and there's just a few more days to labor. And I will take my heavenly flight. Oh, Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and I'll stand, and there my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, and I'm that river to where my faith will end in sight, for there's just a few.
Just a few more days. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, there's hope in front of us. What a day. What a day down the road, some moment now. We don't know how soon, but it won't be long. God bless you. A great program today. Mom, the glory of a virtuous woman. Mom, the glory of a virtuous woman. I don't think I've ever in these years did a series on the family like I'm doing right now. And this, I think, is number four. And I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying it. This one's a little rough on me because I just lost that mom, that wonderful, virtuous woman, in the past year, 4 or 5 months ago, the sweetest in all the world. And I'm still just aching and the heart is crying out, but I must go on and I must keep doing the work of the Lord. That's what she would want. And certainly that's what I must do because my Lord deserves our all. But today we're going to talk about mom, a virtuous woman, the glory of a virtuous woman. Now let's begin and let's think about women in the Bible. Women in the Bible. The first one I can mention is Deborah. Well, there's others, of course, but Deborah is kind of stands out. In the book of Judges, chapter 4, you will find that she was the judge of Israel at this given time. She was a prophetess. The Holy Ghost moved upon her and gave her prophecies. And one of the stories I just read today was the Lord moved upon her and gave her a prophecy and told her to call for Barak, who was the captain of the army at that time, and to send him to a particular location. There was a man, Sisera. I can't say it right. Hard for me to pronounce. But anyhow, he was to go, and God was going to draw him out and defeat him and give the army of Israel a great victory. So Deborah sent for this captain of the army. His name was Barak, and called him to come to her. And Deborah told him what the Lord said. And I like what happened, and I thought it was quite amazing. Deborah prophetess, the wife, and told her who her husband was of Israel, and she dwelt at a particular place, and she sent and called Barak, who was the captain of her army, to come, and gave him the word from the Lord to go to such and such place. And the Lord said, I'll draw out Sisera. I'll draw out Sisera, who is the captain of Jabin's army, and I will defeat him. And listen to what Barak says. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. Now here's the captain of the army. And the Lord's given a message, and Deborah is a prophetess who has prophesied to him. And Barak says, if thou wilt go, I will go with thee. If thou wilt not go, I will not go. And so she said she would go with him. And listen to what her words were, quite amazing. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding, the journey that thou shalt takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hands of a woman. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hands of a woman. Now, I thought that had to be a good program to start a look at the biblical picture of womanhood, of moms, and of the great women that God has had in the past and used, and the great women who certainly exist today. I don't think there's as many as there have been in the past. My wife was surely one of them. Literally, without a question, one of them. But here's a man, the captain of the army, who had to be capable. He wouldn't been in such a position, but he would not take a chance on defeat without the woman who was the prophetess going with him. And she said, I mean, she rebuked him by saying, okay, I'll go. But you got to understand, the victory will be counted for a woman instead of being counted as a victory for a man. Now, I thought that would be a great way to start this program today, because we're dealing with mom, who is, without question, when she is a virtuous woman, she is a glorious person. A glorious person. Do you remember, here in the statement, she that rocks the cradle rules the world. Have you ever heard that? She that rocks the cradle rules the world. Well, that's been said many times. I heard it years ago. It's been a long time since I heard it, because women today do not hold up the standard as women in the past. There is a great brokenness, a sorrow. There's a great gloom upon the world, because women have failed to fulfill the great position which the Lord hath given them. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's amazing to me when you begin to think about this picture, and I've got so much I want to say, and I won't get it all said, and I certainly want to open the lines for my great family, my listeners all over the countryside, and I want you to call and be a part, and I want us to just have this great program and really get into this idea, and I want us to leave the whole audience, especially the ladies, with a challenge, with a challenge to be those virtuous women that have made the Bible such a beautiful picture and has been painted so beautifully in the Scripture. You will hear me read some beautiful things. I mean, they just are plain outstanding what the Bible says about a virtuous woman. Her price, the first thing I must say is her price is far above rubies. That's a prophetic statement by the Holy Ghost and not by Joseph Chambers. Her price is far above rubies. A virtuous woman is a treasure. A virtuous woman is a treasure. A virtuous woman is, without question, I wouldn't even think of considering the ministry God has given me if I had not had Juanita. I don't think there's any question. I remember what a spoiled brat I was. I remember how uneducated I was. I remember how broken my speech was. I remember that I couldn't say 10 words and say them correctly. I don't say a lot of them correctly now because I do have a tongue-tied condition. But it was Miss Chambers who helped lift me above that tongue-tied condition. And I think of Juanita, and all I know how to do is give her glory. I mean, give her all the glory. I know how to give her because I just had nothing but respect. But there are a lot of good women in this world, and I want to give them glory. If you're a virtuous woman, all I can say for you is your price is far above rubies. Your price is far above rubies. The value of a good virtuous woman is without pricing. How do you value that? How do you price that? I wouldn't know how, not even going to try. But let's have a great broadcast and let's talk about it. Now, maybe the first thing I ought to do now is go back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs was a great book for the family. What a family book Proverbs is. Every dad and mom ought to read Proverbs very often and live in the value and the wisdom that book teaches. And if you don't, you pay the price. You've got to understand, ladies, nobody is going to answer to God any more than you ladies. And I know I told the men similar, and I was playing with them, and I'm being plain with you. It's high time we had a great company across this globe of godly, virtuous women. Who set the tone. In the past, it was women who set the tone. It was women who set the tone. I used to read some Western books about Western stories of the great travelers across to the undeveloped lands of America, and just some great things that went on among those people. And many of them were just stories that had been written that were enjoyable to read. But one of the things I remember was when the ladies would ride a stagecoach out to the west, and it would come time for them to disload at the locations that they had arrived, and even at the staying places along the way. A woman, when she got out of the stagecoach, would be careful not to even show her ankles to those who were standing around. A woman, when she got out of a stagecoach, wouldn't even show her ankles to the men and the people who were standing around. Because if she did, she was sending a sign to the men that she was there for ill moral purposes. If she maintained her dignity, they knew she was a pure woman and a godly woman. And they knew to keep their mouth closed and their hands to themselves. Now, you know, these kind of things don't really exist much anymore. But I can tell you, I look at them with great respect. I really do. Thank God for good people of the past. Now, let me take you for a moment. I took you to Judges 4, and that was beautiful. But Proverbs 31 is the biblical, a magnificent picture of a godly woman. The book of Proverbs, chapter 31, is the picture. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. For the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Woo! The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. You've got a lot of women today, they don't want to do anything. They just want to, you know, they just want to hang around the house. And I don't know. I don't know what to do with the time. But I can tell you it's not biblical. Somebody says, I don't want my wife to work. I want to stay at home. If she's there raising the children and educating them and teaching them in a homeschool setting, I would say, amen. Wonderful. But if she's there just to goof off and stay on the telephone and run her mouth and gossip and get all involved in cheap talk, I would say she's a misery. And a miserable excuse for the wife. But this woman, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh diligently with her hand. She is like the merchant, the merchant ships. She bringeth her goods from afar. She's like the merchant ship. She goes to find the right price at the right places, the right product with good qualities, and brings it back to make something for her family. She riseth while it is yet night. She gets up before the sun in the morning and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. She's into real estate. Considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She's a farmer. I mean, look, she's a seamstress. She's a cook. That's already been said. She's a seamstress. She's a cook. She's a real estate woman, and she's a farmer. You know, I mean, you can go on and on. Read that whole book, and you find this woman was a woman of qualities, and she made her husband a marvelous wife. Now, I'm not asking you women to do all them things. Our world's a different world, but you need your place, and you need to be a laborer, and you ought, I'm going to tell you this, you ought to get up and cook him breakfast in the morning. I was with one of my sisters the other day. Her name is Lily. We named her Easter Lily. That was one of the few things we did when I was a kid that had a religious tone to it. My mother was a great woman. Not put my mother down. My dad was a great man, but had got involved in alcohol, and that gave him a hardship. But I want to tell you something. My sister told me that Mom had a frying pan that she only used to cook Dad's eggs in. He liked his eggs a special way, so she had a special frying pan. She wouldn't use it for nothing else, and she kept it to cook my dad's eggs. You can tell I've been spoiled all my life. I really have. I feel sorry for men, young people, and somebody my age who hadn't had that kind of loving way back there. But here is the picture of a godly woman. And I mean, you need to read on. It doesn't end with just what I've just read for you. It just keeps on. Let me read a little more. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, that's to weave, and her hands hold the distel. And I don't remember that word, but that's part distaff. That's part of the spinning equipment. She strengtheneth out her hands to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and linen. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Now, I'll read more of that as I move on, but what a picture of a godly woman. A woman of dedication, a woman who makes the home everything it ought to be, a woman who gives herself for the good of her family. And none of you can do all of those things. Those are just pictures of the different things that a godly woman may put her hands to the task of. I like that part. Riseth while it's yet dark to cook breakfast for her household. You can tell I like breakfast. Well, I do. I really do. Well, there's so many beautiful things about this picture, and I'm amazed at them. Her price is far above rubies. Let me say that again. Very important. Far more important person. There is not a far more important person in our society. I'm here to tell you, women are of such value. You know what I've said through the years? When you deal with this feminist attitude, we women want to be equal with you men. Well, let me tell you what I believe. I believe a woman has to come down off of her pedestal to be equal with us men. I believe a woman has to come down off her pedestal to be equal with us men. Her position is far above rubies. Her position is far above any person in society. The hands that rock the cradle rule the world. Now, I know that's not true in every circumstance, but there are many places where it is true. You study the life of John Wesley, and you remember when you get through studying the life of his mother, Susanna. You know, you can find that in so many places in the Bible and in life. The beauty of the mother's hands and the great good and the great things that she's done for her family. Well, all I can say is her price is far above rubies. Her price is far above rubies. A man without a woman is impaired. I mean, here I am without my wife and I'm impaired. I'm gonna make it. I'm cooking her things. I'm everything she's taught me. I'm giving my best to everything I taught her. She gave her best to. I mean, we just were each other's. And I'm telling you, ladies, you and I'm telling you, men, love your wife as Christ loved the church. I said that 3 weeks ago. Now, the first of these programs, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And ladies, you respond to that love until your family is a knitted, harmony, happy, wonderful place where your children had rather be at home than anywhere else in the world. I said this a couple weeks ago, that children that don't want to be at home, they'd rather be at the neighbors, they'd rather be anywhere in the world besides at home with mom and dad. Something's wrong with mom and dad. Something's wrong with mom and dad. Do something about that. Do something about it. I'm begging of you. I'm begging of you. So, a man needs a wife. You remember? It was God who looked at man and saw him and he said, he needs a helpmate. He needs a helpmate. He needs somebody to help him. I like what my son said one time. He said, you know how a woman got her name? And I said, son, how did women get their name? He said, well, God brought the woman to her husband, Eve, to Adam. And Adam looked at Eve and he said, wow, man. You know, wow, a man. Well, that's how I always felt about my sweetheart. Wow, what a wonderful woman. But you know, I never saw my wife just as this beautiful lady. I have saw her beauty more since her death than I ever was aware of it. I loved her for what was inside. I loved her for what I saw of her. I loved it for the beauty of her personality. I love her for the gentleness in her voice and her hands and the loveliness in her whisper. I mean, really, there were many reasons, and that's how you should look at your wife. If you happen to have a woman as beautiful as mine, don't get all entangled with her beauty and forget that the person is the real person. And you love her for who she is, not what she looks like. You love her for how you know, her very being, her very person. You love her because she's your sweetheart. Now, the Bible says this, she is a crown of glory to her husband. A crown of glory to her husband. You know what a crown is? A crown is an expression of royalty. A man's wife is the expression of his worth. A man's wife is the manifestation, the manifesting of his worth. It's a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing. Well, I want to get in some scriptures here because the Bible warns us. You know, I hate to do this. There's so much positive about the glory of a good woman. There's so much positive about the blessings that she brings with her. There's so much positive about what she means to those children and those grandchildren and those great-grandchildren. I'm telling you, it really is something outstanding and something breathtaking. But I'm going to have to go in a moment and look a little bit at the danger of a woman who has lost her way. The danger of women who have no moral values. I'm telling you, it can be a sad picture. It really can be a sad picture. And I want to go in another minute and show you in the Bible of women that were so wonderfully used. But let's take a moment here. A brawling woman. Let's look at that. Very important to know that a brawling woman is a real disaster. A brawling woman is a real disaster. Let me read you some scripture. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife, that's the strife of a wife, is a continued droppings. A continued droppings. Proverbs 19:13. Here's another. It is better to dwell in the corner of the household or the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. It's better to live on the roof by yourself than to live in the house with a brawling woman. A mouthy, contentious, clamorous woman. I mean, it really is a bad thing. And there's a lot of them out there, brother. We live in the day when there's a lot of women that are just fornicators. They really are fornicators. And it's broader than it's ever been. It's bigger than it's ever been. And it's heart-rending to go out there and walk, driving down the street. And here's a woman here, and she's searching for a man. And here's one here. Every time I see one and I think they are out there to find a man, I call the police to come in and remove them. Don't want them on the street where I live. Don't want them on the street where I've got to drive, because a brawling woman is a continuous droppings. Now, you know what it means by continuous droppings. A person who has no bondage in any of their life. They're, you know, they're losing everything. Now, I don't even know how to say that one. Forgive me. Just forgive me, will you? Here's another one. A continuous droppings in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. The continuous droppings. One of these days when it's just drizzling all day, you know how that gets on your nerves? Well, the Bible says a dripping day, a day like that is the same as a woman who's a contentious woman. She's always complaining. She's griping. Here's another. I'm sorry. For three things, the earth is disquieted. For three things, the earth is disquieted, and for four, which it cannot bear. For a servant who is, when he reigneth, for a servant when he's put in charge, when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with mead, for an odious, hateful woman when she is married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. Is heir to her mistress. In other words, she's going to get all the mischief have when the mistress is dead, and she's an heir to it, and she's dangerous because she might just feed her poison. That's what the Bible suggested. She might just feed her poison. Are you listening to Brother Chambers? I'm telling you what a dangerous women are. And listen, if you're one of those dangerous women, you walk in the street, you're odious, you're always contentious, you're full of strife, you're gossipy, always on the phone talking things that's none of your business, and things that often you don't even know, you need to quit. You need to get your life straight now. I'd go find me a place and fall on my face and pray until God saved me and cleansed me and made a new person out of me. These are dangerous things. Now, I believe that's all I have written down here, but they're overwhelming. The last one was in Proverbs 30:21-23, so you won't think I'm just giving you something to try to cut down a brawling woman. But a brawling woman is a dangerous thing. There's been many. I've known a few of them. I've known a few of them, always contentious, always complaining, always gossipy. As a pastor, once in a while, you'll have a woman who won't stay off the telephone. Let me tell you this one. You'll get a laugh out of this. This woman who was in the church, and she gossiped all the time. I mean, she gossiped. And one day she got under conviction, and she came to the altar and said, "Pastor, I want to lay my tongue on the altar this morning. I want to put my tongue on the altar." And he said, "Well, madam, the altar isn't long enough, but we'll fold it up at the end. The altar isn't long enough, but we'll fold your tongue up at the end." Well, that's just a good illustration of a woman who has a long tongue. I hope you laughed at that and don't look at me with anger, because I'm just trying to help you understand that there's nothing more beautiful than a godly woman. And there's nothing worse than an ungodly woman. It really is a difference. Now, I got a lot to say. I want to go to the book of Acts 16 in a minute, but I want to take some time for some calls. I want you to get on your phone, and I want you to tell me something about a great mother you had, a great wife you had, a great wife you've got. Just real quickly, something that others will take encouragement from. You may want to ask a question. Call me quickly, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I'd love to try to answer some questions. I really would. I want this to really get a hold of all of you. I want to thank God for the good women. Thank God for the virtuous women, and pray for those who are not virtuous, that God will change their life and turn them around. I mean, I get amazed at even my internet. There's always something coming up on my internet at home. A woman somewhere 2 miles down the road that knows where you live, and she wants to know if she can visit with you, or if you might would consider visiting with her. Does your internet show things like that? Mine does. Did I ask for it? No, I didn't ask for it. Do I erase it? Yes, I do erase it. But I get amazed. I get amazed. I mean, if you won't sin, friend, it will present itself for you. If you won't sin, you will have the opportunity. You got to understand that sin always makes itself manifest if you show any degree of desire for it. Any degree of desire for it, and you're going to get a chance at it, okay? So you keep yourself pure. The Bible makes it very plain that we as a godly man are not even to look upon a maiden. Not even to look upon a maiden. The Bible says, the prophet says, I will not look upon a maiden. Thank you. Now, listen, folks, we're talking about something of great value, and I've got a lot to say, but I want you involved because you are important to this program, okay? On the air now, may I help you, please?
Pastor, first, sir, can you give us a little information on the role of men as well, sir?
Say that again. I didn't hear it good. Say it again, please.
Can you give us a little bit of information on the role of the men in the relationship? That was very good information on the women.
I don't know why your voice is breaking up. I had thought I'd got it where it was always straight and good, and I'm not hearing those last words, so please try one more time, and if I don't get through, I'll let you give it to the lady on the phone, and she'll write it down for me. Go ahead now.
Yes, sir. I was saying that was very good information on woman's role. Can you tell me what my role is as a man, please?
Okay, your role as a lady. Your role as a lady, right?
As a man.
You a man. Is this a man or a woman?
A man, sir.
Well, your role as a man, I did that 2 weeks ago. A man is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. A man is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. The Bible says he is to provide for his own. And if he doesn't provide for his own, he is worse than an infidel. And that's two things the Bible says to a man. He's to provide for his family. He's to work hard, make a good living, provide a home, provide clothes, provide food. He is to provide for his family. He is to provide for his wife. His wife is to help. They are to be united in this. Today, we live in a world that if you want to buy a home, it just about takes the income of two people. That may not be good always. In some cases, it's not. But in other cases, there's nothing wrong. Women are wonderful at being secretaries. Women are wonderful at many chores. I don't want to see a woman doing a man's job. In fact, I was at the Sam's a few weeks ago, and I said to the man up front, would you have someone to come and load 3 cases of paper for me? I'm getting a little older, and I'm trying to back off of some heavy work, and they sent a woman back there. And when she got back there, I said, lady, I'm sorry. I'm not going to let you load this for me. You go on back and tell them that Reverend Chambers will do his own loading. If they can't send me a man, I'm not going to let a woman do hard work for me. And I loaded my own paper. That's how I'm committed. So you've got plenty to do, sir. I mean, you've got a big job as a man and making a living. Maybe God's called you. What has God called you to be?
Thank you, sir.
A preacher? Are you called to be a preacher?
Sir?
Are you called to be a minister?
I think I may be.
You think what?
I think I may be.
Okay, well, you know, you need a good pastor that you sit down with, and he'll help you. And I'm glad you called me. I think I've told you some things that will help. And God bless you, sir. I'm glad you called. Call friend. I want to speak to anybody out there about womanhood. Now, that was a call from a man. What is his responsibility? And I would rather now have some calls about ladyhood and the beauty, the virtue of a godly woman. Hey, let me hear from you. Grab your phone. And hey, I got a book to give you. I want you to have this. I really do. It's free. And the title is Mom, the Glory of a Virtuous Woman. Mom, the Glory of a Virtuous Woman. When it's put together for you, it'll be a nice little booklet, probably 10 pages, 8, 9, 10 pages. You can put it in your Bible. It'll fit right in. And you can read that carefully. Read all those scriptures. It may be that many of you ladies out there, if you would just read it, you would make up your mind to become a virtuous woman. Or maybe you're already a virtuous woman, and you can see the benefits. The benefits, the biblical benefits of a virtuous woman. They are many, friend. They are many. And thank God for them. All right, the line's open. 1-800-338-7884. I'm going to put the number up for a moment. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884, local number 704-391-0588. Now, while you are calling, I don't want to waste any time. I want you calling. I want to answer questions. I want to hear your remarks about this subject. This is a great subject. Mom, the glory of a virtuous woman. Can you imagine anything more wonderful to talk about than a virtuous woman, a godly woman, a pure woman? Loves her husband, loves her kids and her grandkids and on and on, and lives a exemplary life. And she's a light in the church. Someone said to me this morning, your wife's fingerprints are all over this church. Well, they are. I mean, she was a virtuous woman. We pastored together 60 years. We were celebrating 60 years in September 2017 when she died. We were celebrating 60 full years pastoring together. She was always my first lady, and she was always an example. Everybody loved her. She was a crown to me. She really was. She was my expression of royalty. Not me. I'm just a, I'm kind of a rough horn kind of person. And I preach straight as an arrow. And I say things straight, and I don't beat around the bush. And that's what men of God ought to do. But most of them today are wimpy. They're not going to say anything that makes anybody bothered. I can't help but say some things that bother some people, you know, because I've got to be straight. I've got to give you the truth. Well, we can go back later to Proverbs. It's just that good, I'm telling you. And it's got so much in it that's rich. But let's go over to Acts chapter 16. I think this is excellent, absolutely excellent. Acts chapter 16. Here's this woman who lived in this location where Apostle Paul has come to preach. And her name is, her name, well, I'll find her name in a minute. And forgive me, I'm sorry. And from this, no, that's the wrong place. And a certain woman, listen now, and a certain woman named Lystra, a certain woman named Lystra, let me say that name right. Let me get it here. And a certain woman named Lydda. I'm not saying that right. Lydia. I got it now. Lydia. A certain woman named Lydia. A seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, Paul speaking, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. Now, this woman, Lydia, we're going to come back to Lydia, a woman who was a seller of purple. She was from a city of Lystra, okay? She was from the city of Lystra. Has well, I'm getting it up right here. I'm very sorry. Let's take line one. God bless you for calling. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Pastor Tabor, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful.
I want to say a little bit about the godly women. I want to say I have one, and we've been together ever since tonight. We've been together January 24th. We've been together 56 years.
56 years.
Yes, sir. And we got saved in 1972, and I'm telling you that Bible's right.
How you got saved in 1973?
We got saved in 1972.
All right. You've been saved nearly 40 years.
Yes, sir. Yes, I love it, love it, love it. And tell a godly woman, I have one.
That is beautiful, sir. That is beautiful. I thank you for bragging on her. Tell everybody out there one of the most important virtues you see in your sweetheart.
Man, one thing I see in my sweetheart is that she's not a nagging woman. She keep her clothes clean. She ain't in the street. She loves the Lord, and every time the door opens, the church, she's there. Ever since we got saved, the few times she's been sick. But then, I tell you the truth, ever since we got saved, everything was Lord blessed us, and she loves her children. She loves me. I don't have to worry about her. When she goes somewhere, I don't have to look at the hiding closed door and all that kind of stuff, wonder where she's at. Street, crossing, running a mouse, running every year, and all that kind of stuff.
Sir, you are a blessed man. Every man out there that has a godly wife is a blessed man. And I would say treat her with like she's a jewel, like she's a pearl. Treat her, love her as Christ loved the church. And the dividends will just keep on coming back to you. My wife, of course, she and I lived together 62 years and 91 days. She's been gone between 4 and 5 months. And every day my heart aches for her. Every day. I have squalling times when I just weep like a baby because I miss her so bad. But yet, I'm so proud of her, and I got so much to be grateful for. So here I am, so happy that I had such a woman that I can rejoice in her and yet weep for her. And I do them both, and I'm just going to keep on, and I'm getting on top of it. I'm learning to cook everything she cooked. I've not got it all done yet, but one by one, I'm adding something else to my ability. And because she just was that kind of godly lady. And all I can say is thank God for your wife that you have. And thank God for my wife that I have. And thank God for every good wife out there. And what I'm praying for today is that God will stir the hearts of many women. That God will stir the hearts of many to quit being contentious. To get rid of that old spirit of complaint. To get rid of that attitude of fault finding. Quit being a gossiper. I mean, give up all that kind of life. If you've been immoral, get rid of everything that made you look immoral. Everything you wore that was indecent. And become a modest woman, a godly woman. Let your light shine. And God will bring blessings home to you. He won't fail. The blessings of a godly man or woman are numerous and unending. They never fail.
Amen.
Amen, sir. Thank you for calling. God bless you. Hey, friend, I'm here to tell you, I love a call like that, and I pray we'll have more. Grab your phone, somebody, and maybe you have a question. I'm telling you, it's beautiful. Now, I want to go back while you're calling, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588, toll-free 1-800-338-7884. I want to go back to Lydia. I'm sorry I couldn't say it a while ago. I don't know why. I've said it many times, but boy, it wouldn't come out for a little bit. But I got it. Lydia, a seller of purple. She was from Thyatira. And she was here in the city where Paul was, Philippi. And she hears him preaching. And she likes what she hears. And so she joins herself to him. Listen what she says. And when she was baptized, now notice this, and her household. Now, that's the reason I'm reading this. She either had a husband who was dead, or a husband who was a pagan, a husband whom she couldn't trust in, or whatever. She had her own household. And so she run the house and said to him, I would say, if you're a godly woman and he's an old drunk, take control of your house. Don't boss him, but take control. Keep things straight. Keep things right. Give your children the right care. Work hard if you have to. Maybe God will bring him home and he'll get straight. But if not, you'll have a household that is considered a Christian. It was her household. Not her sorry husband or her dead husband or her absent husband. I want to be careful there because I don't know. But it says that very clearly she worshiped God and she was baptized, she and her household. I mean, she had such an influence in her home that everybody wanted to have the same thing she had. When she got saved, they got saved. When she got baptized, they got baptized. That's how all of us ought to be. I mean, our children ought to follow us with abandonment. And our kids did until we were about 70 years old. And then they got off in some other ways. And God's bringing them back. I promise you that. When she was baptized and her household, she besought Paul, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained them. Her home became the quarters that Apostle Paul lived in that city, while he preached to the church at Philippi and organized a church there and enhanced the kingdom of God. Well, I want to hear from you. 704-391-0588. Isn't that a beautiful picture? A woman. And see, there are many women out there that needs to hear this. Your husband will not do it, you do it. Your husband will not serve God, you serve God. Your husband won't have a Bible study in the home, you have Bible study. Your husband won't build an altar in the home, you make you an altar. And you seek God, and you turn your family to God, and you lead them in the straight and the right way. And you men who have women who won't live the life, you live it. And you be an example, and you be tender and gentle. Don't fuss and scream and holler and rave at them, trying to get them to go to church with you. Treat them with kindness and gentleness, and love them. Love them like you really love them, you know? And I'm telling you, you may just turn them to God. Many of a good woman has brought her husband to God because she lived such a pure life, and she was so gentle and kind. And many men have brought their wives to God because they lived their life so pure and so clean. And they were such an example. And they were so kind to this raving woman. I mean, they'd spend all the time they could in the house, but when they had to, they'd go up and live on the roof a day or two. You know, you gotta do what you gotta do to turn your family to God. Well, I hope you like Brother Chambers' approach to these kind of things, because I'm doing my best to make sure they're biblical. I really am. I really am. Now, let me take you here. I'm trying to take you some good things that'll help you. The lines are open. Are you aware? The lines are open. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. The local number, 704-391-0588. Toll free anywhere in America and Canada, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Very, very important. Now, I'm trying to take you here to something that's very, very important. Now, let's go, if we might, to the book of Acts, and this time is chapter 12. Chapter 12. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his servants, his angel, and hath delivered me out of the house of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary." He came to the house of Mary, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. You remember the name John Mark? One of the great persons of the Bible. His mother was named Mary. And he, now, was raised in the household of Mary. It says nothing about her husband. We don't know what happened. We don't know where he was. All we know is that Mary was indeed a godly woman, and her house was a house of prayer. And when God delivered Peter out of prison, he went for her house. They was having a prayer meeting at Mary's house. That's John Mark's mother's house. They were praying. They were seeking God. Well, let me take a call here. Oh, bless your heart. God bless you. May I help you, please?
Yes.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead, sir. I'm listening.
Yeah. I was wanting to talk to you about something.
Well, you got to go ahead. I'm waiting on you. Go quickly now. Hey, sir, if you don't go quickly, I'll have no choice but to move on.
Yeah.
Well, I understand, yeah, but I want to see if you have a question. I love you. I'm being kind to you. All right, we'll move on. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry to you, to our ladies who answered. I'm not sure what the gentleman wanted. And if you can't speak out on the radio, he may have got nervous, and I understand that. I've never been nervous about the radio, and that may be a fault rather than a good thing. I just go, you know, for it with all I got. But some people does frighten them, and I understand, sir, and so I'm concerned. Give us a call. I've got about 14 minutes, and I want much to answer questions and help you, and I want to show you the beauty of a virtuous woman. I want to show you how society is so desperate for that again. I want to cry out, I really do, for God to give us such people, such godly people, such pure people. Everything about society today is so out of focus because of such a failure of standards and such a failure of purity and such a failure of virtue, real, genuine virtue. Every lady out there, you ought to dress virtuously. You ought to dress in a manner that shows your modesty. No man should be allowed to look upon your nakedness but your husband. They shouldn't look upon you in clothing that is so revealing and so suggestive. How have we as a society come to that? Why is it that you go to anywhere you want to go, and if it's warm weather, you got to turn your head from flesh in every direction? And it's sad that we've come to that. And of course, men are as bad as women in many cases. And I'm telling you, it's time to dress modestly. Be a woman of virtue. If you don't show your virtue in the way you dress, you don't have any. If you don't show your virtue in the way you dress, you don't have any virtue. Are you listening to me? If you don't show your virtue in the way you dress, then you don't have any virtue. You're just revealing yourself, and you don't care about yourself, and you have no sense of being a godly, a pure, a virtuous woman. And I'm crying out for virtuous men and virtuous women, for men that love their wives as Christ loved the church, for women that love their husbands and love their children and are faithful in these kinds of things, because they indeed are wonderful. They really, really are. Now, in a minute, we're going to go back to Proverbs 31 and kind of end with some of the beautiful pictures of virtuous women. And I want to say over and over, a virtuous woman, her price is far above rubies. If you dress pure, you are a virtuous woman, then you are far above rubies, and you are of great worth. I said you are of great worth, and there's nothing I want better than to help build you up and help you depict a pure home, a pure lifestyle, and pure things, and be proud of who you are. Be proud of the virtue of your life. Be proud that the blood has washed you and cleansed you, and that you want to be nothing but a pure soul, a pure life. I believe in dressing right. I believe in dressing right. I'm telling you, I'm committed to the virtues of the Bible. Whatever the Bible teaches is just right. That's all you can say for it. It's just plain right. It's just plain right. You really can't say anything else. Now, grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Grab your phone and let's talk about this virtuous woman. Let's talk about how you can transform your life. Well, you can't really, but the blood can. You can transform by surrender and claiming the cleansing of the blood. And Jesus' blood will make you pure and make you holy. I want to read a little more here. Her husband is known in the gates, for he sitteth among the elders of the land. I'm telling you, a virtuous woman will make her husband important. A virtuous woman will give her husband the chance to be a man of stature. And a man of purity, and a man of renown, really, a virtuous woman. If Joe Chambers, and I am loved by a lot of people around the world, and I'm grateful for that. I don't ever feel like I deserve it. I feel like that the Lord has just given me much more blessing and many more friends than I could ever be worthy of. But I can tell you, my wife, and many people will say this to me, boy, your wife made you what you are. And I say, wow, hallelujah. Well, the Bible says she's a crown to her husband. What is that but making him what he ought to be? I mean, that's just the way it is. Now, let's go back here and grab a phone call here. And let me get it right. I have to be careful. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Hello, Pastor. I am thoroughly enjoying your broadcast today.
Well, wonderful. I'm glad. What have you lacked that I said?
Well, I feel like there's something maybe you could address today, and it's concerning the older women teaching younger women.
Yes.
And a lot of times, as ministers, maybe we tend to point out the faults of the younger women, or you know, those who have not been taught. And that's a great lack in our churches today, is older women teaching younger women the ways of holiness.
You know, there's nothing purer. A lady said to me the other day, she said, you know, I've always took my daughters and said, now, if you want to know what is pure and what is a good standard and what holiness represents, always look towards Sister Chambers. A woman just told me that recently, and it made me so proud of my wife. That she was always this example. She was so careful in her dress. I used to want her to wear red, and she wouldn't wear red because she felt like it was too showy for her. She didn't want to look showy. She didn't want to draw attention to herself. She wanted to draw attention to the Lord. And you're right. The older women ought to teach the younger women.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you taking my call, Pastor. Love you.
I am delighted. And I hope we are helping a lot of women say, I'm going to change my perspective. I'm going to become a virtuous woman.
Yes.
Let's pray for that, okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. You know, no question about it. If the older women would do their job, in many cases they don't. Stand forth, ladies, and be an example. Be so pure. And you don't always teach with words. You teach more with lifestyle than you ever teach with words. I mean, when your life is a picture of purity, a picture of kindness. I said something earlier in the program today, and I want to say it again, because it's really true. I am now today, look at the beauty of my wife, and remember how beautiful she was, and I'm overwhelmed by it. I am so overwhelmed by her beauty. And I thought to myself this week on one of the days that I was considering thinking about her and just, thanking God for her. And it dawned on me, you know, you understand and you see how beautiful she was more now than you did all those years you were married to her. And I'm thinking, oh, I wish I'd have told her 1,000 more times how beautiful she was. But I never thought of her beauty as being the reason I loved her. I loved her because she was Juanita, and I loved her because of the inside, what came forth out of her, the spirit I saw in her, the gentleness I saw from her. I loved her because she was so faithful to me. I mean, and she was absolutely a queen in beauty, but that never dawned on me. And we never manifested. We never made an effort to make it shine. And she never would dress fancy and floozy. She just didn't do it. Because she wanted people to respect the God she served and not just the beauty that she had. Well, ladies and gentlemen out there, listen to me. If ever we have prayed for God to give a revival among the ladies of our day, we should pray for a revival. An absolute Holy Ghost revival. An absolute Holy Ghost revival. And everybody out there, I beg of you to order now. Do not wait. From now till the next 15 or 20 minutes, call the phone and order a copy of this booklet on Mom, the Glory of a Virtuous Woman. Will you do that for me? I want you to do that. I really do. I will be proud and happy to know if I could send hundreds of those out. I really would. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Well, hello, Brother Chambers. This is Brother Hancock. I'm enjoying your service today.
Well, you know, you put a note on my Facebook the other day, Brother Hancock, and that made me real happy.
On September the 26th, 1948, I met Jesus, and I met a young lady by the name of Edna. Oh,
what was that name again? I missed it.
Brother Hancock.
Okay, I know your name is Brother Hancock. Your wife's name?
My wife's name is Edna.
Edna.
Yes, sir. This stands for every day, and I still appreciate it.
Every day. Oh, boy, that's good. That's good, Brother Hancock.
We've been in the ministry since January of 1954. And God's blessed us every day. And
you got married in January of 54.
Yes, sir. And I'm like you. I couldn't ask for a better wife. She's been a wife, mother, and a pastor's helper more than anybody else could ever be.
Well, I understand that, Brother Hancock. And thank God for Edna. And I love it. You got married a little over a year before my wife and I did. And, of course, yours is still here. And mine's on the other side. But heaven sure is sweeter. And one of these days, we're going to stroll over heaven together.
Heaven's getting sweeter every day.
Oh, glory. God bless you, brother. Thank you for calling me.
You keep the wooden so far from here to mirror, and I come down to see.
I don't think, listen, a church alive is worth the drive. Now you don't have an excuse.
Well, I'm at the age now, they won't hardly let me drive very much anymore. Not too far away from home.
Well, they don't want me to drive either, but I do it anyway. Just be careful. Drive 50 instead of 80, okay?
She's listening to you.
All right, tell Edna I want to meet her. I really do. Now you got to come see me. You got to come see me, brother.
I bless you and keep it up. The Lord's coming soon.
I love you, man. I'm so glad you called. Thank you and God bless you. Now, you know, that's a joy. I would not know Brother Hancock. I don't guess if I see him unless I know him better than I know that I know him. There's so many people I know, and many people I know their names but don't know their face. There are many people I know their face and don't know their name. And so all I want to say to all of you is, listen, Mom, a virtuous woman is a price, is a prize, is a joy. There's nothing on the face of God's earth that's more wonderful than good, godly women. And I want to tell every woman sitting out there, every woman standing, every woman driving, every woman working, whatever you're doing, I want to tell you, if you will live a virtuous life and you will be a pure woman, you will be a blessed woman. There is nothing on the face of this earth to compare with a blessed woman. And I want you to be one. I want you to let your light shine so that men will see your good works, women will see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I want you ladies to learn to dress pure, learn to dress holy, learn to dress godly. Don't be a flute in dressing. I'm telling you, nothing is more important than how you dress. You are expressing what you are in the way you dress. I got to quit that. You on the air. May I help you, please?
It's me again, Brother Chambers. My good wife has corrected me. I met her and Jesus both September the 28th of 48. We got married in February of 49.
You got married in February of 49. That's not fair. You've had her 6 more years, and I got to have my wife. I'm jealous.
We'll stroll over heaven together and just brag about it.
I know. I'm kidding with you. Hey, I love you now. Thank you for calling back. That's wonderful. How about that? Got married before 1950, 1949. That's great. That's great. Isn't God good to all of us? Isn't God good to every one of us? Now, ladies, I'm saying it again. I know I got to go off the air. I want you in church tomorrow. I'm preaching tomorrow on the person of the Holy Ghost. The sermon he's given me, I'm overwhelmed by it. I really am. And I want you to hear it. That's tomorrow, okay? Would you do your best to be here? I will be so proud to have you, my friend. God bless you. Jesus is coming. Help us out in the work of the Lord. And may his love and grace ever keep you pure and holy. I love you.
Labor, then I will take my heavenly flight to Beulah Land. How I'm longing. and there my home shall be eternal. Oh, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land, and there my home shall be eternal.
How many intend to be there? Let me see your hand.